This is the Thoughtful Travel Podcast. I'm your host, Amanda Kendall of the notaballerina.com travel blog. Every episode, I'll share travel tales from several fellow travel lovers, and together we hope to entertain and inspire you, remind you of some of your own great travel experiences, and encourage you to hit the road again soon. Hello and welcome to episode 63 of the Thoughtful Travel Podcast. Today we're talking all about travel to change your life's path. I am a firm believer that travel often can be life-changing, and the three guests today have really interesting stories to tell about travel that they did, which really changed where their life went. Now, speaking of changing paths, it's a good moment to mention that the Jackrabbit FM, which has been hosting the Thoughtful Travel Podcast until now, is sadly closing down for a good reason, though, because Brooke and her family are changing their life's path and planning to do some more travel as well. So how can I begrudge them that? So in the next few weeks, the podcast will see a few small changes. Probably to you as a listener, there won't be too much that you'll notice. If for some reason, for example, your subscription on iTunes or somewhere where you're subscribing to the podcast drops out, you might need to just hit subscribe again. That may or may not happen. Hopefully not. It may appear seamless. That's my goal, but I can't guarantee it, you know, because technology and all that. And there may be a couple of weeks break, but I haven't quite figured that out yet. I also have a couple of weeks of travel coming up, so all of this together may mean there's a short break in transmission, but I will be back. Don't you worry about that. Running the Thoughtful Travel Podcast is the number one fun thing I do from a lot of fun things that I do for work, so I will be here. Don't you stress. Anyway, back to the main topic of travel, which changes your life's path. There's so many moments that spring to mind in my own travel history, but I guess one very, very important one was moving to Japan to teach English. I was 25. I was here in Australia working in a very good job, a great academic position that I'd worked hard to get. It was a great job, but I didn't want to do it forever. And somehow I just knew I had to leave Perth for a while. You know, it is the most isolated city in the world. And I just thought, there had to be something more. I had to see more somehow. And so I decided to go and live in Japan. And as I left, it was for a year and then we'll see. So I didn't really know what was ahead of me. And of course, it changed my life's path in many, 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 many ways, not least of which I was teaching there. And I learned that I really did love teaching adults and kids to some extent, but adults in particular. And not only that, I was quite good at it. So that's become something that I regularly do now here in Perth, and something that I get a lot of joy out of. And that's just one example of how travel has changed my life's path. There's so, so many more, which I'll mention as the show goes on. But first up today, my new guest is Penny Winsor. She is a lovely Thoughtful Travel Podcast listener who got in touch and said that, you know, it would be great to have a chat. And I'm so glad she did. We had a wonderful chat about all kinds of reasons that travel is important. And one of the things she told me about was how she left at the age of 18 on quite a daunting trip, I think. So this is her story about that.
When I was 18, I took a gap year and I went to Thailand. I was really lucky. It was a program that was set up through my school. And there was six of us that went to work for an NGO in Thailand.
Wow.
And it was something I really wanted to do, because I felt like I really wanted to take a break from work, like school work.
Yes.
But I really wanted to see what it would be like if I threw myself into quite a difficult situation, particularly around learning a language. Everything else, I didn't know what it was going to be like, but I knew that learning a language was going to be really difficult. So that was part of the motivation for going. And I was working for an NGO that worked with a lot of women's programs. It was specifically a lot of anti-prostitution programs. Wow. And anti-HIV programs. It was a really incredible year. And the thing that was actually turned out to be the most incredible bit about it was that it was so hard in the beginning and it was so wonderful by the end, that it really taught me a lot about how it's okay for it to be difficult. It's okay for it to be hard sometimes, and it doesn't mean it's bad to be hard. And that actually sometimes the most amazing travel is quite difficult, and not all about being on holiday and it being easy and it being relaxing. And And
valuable lesson to learn at that age, because a lot of people take a lot longer to figure that out.
well, it really switched me onto the idea of slow travel. And I know in the 90s this wasn't a term. I knew about slow food back then, but it wasn't really a term. But it is exactly how I felt when I was there. And part of that was because I did take a couple of holidays within the year, and I saw the difference of my experience and what other people visiting, backpackers visiting Thailand, were experiencing. And I felt like we were just visiting two completely different countries. It felt like two very different experiences. And I felt like they were the ones that were missing out. And even though what I was experiencing was much more difficult in a way, I put a lot of pressure on myself to fit in. I wanted to try really hard. I wanted to, you know, work really hard. I wanted to speak Thai really well. And that did make sort of, you know, make me quite, I guess, oh, I was 18, you know, everything's very black and white. I really desperately wanted to do a good job of it. But the thing that was really interesting was that I suppose I realized that the point of travel for me personally was to change my perspective and to kind of look at the world differently. And I wasn't going to look at the world differently sitting on a beach in a bathing suit.
I was so true.
You know, I was going to do it by hanging out in markets and walking to work and talking to people and turning up every day and having favorite places to go and doing things over and over again. But it also taught me that, I mean, I didn't have to do it. It doesn't have to be a year-long thing to do that. And I've continued to travel in the same kind of way for my whole life since then, really. But I don't travel like that anymore. I mean, nobody can. I mean, who can do that? Nobody can take a year off except an 18-year-old or maybe a 25-year-old.
Yes, exactly.
And I'm certainly not in a position now to be going and, you know, teaching English to Hill Tribe children like I was then. But what stayed with me since then is the way I traveled at that point, the way I experienced it. And I still do that today, even if it's just a weekend or a week or anything like that.
Oh, absolutely. It's a mindset. It's complete. Yeah, it's a way you approach travel and a way you do it. It doesn't matter whether you do it for 2 days or 2 years, I think. Yeah, once you've learnt that, you probably can't go back. I'm really intrigued to think that you managed to kind of launch yourself into this year away. Like, and it would, even from the outset, it would appear that it would be difficult. Like, how did you do that at 18? Like, what equipped you to think, oh, I can do this?
Well, I think we're all pretty brave when we're young in a way, because I didn't have a lot to lose. I mean, I had a place at university waiting for me a year later. It wasn't a big risk. I could have, you know, my parents did say to me, oh, just, you know, if you really want to come home, it's not the end of the world. Like, it's, it's really terrible. And the first few months were really hard. I was really homesick. I didn't want to eat Thai food three times a day. After a couple of months, I was just like, I just want to eat Vegemite toast.
Yes, I understand about Vegemite toast.
I put a lot of pressure on myself with trying to fit in. And actually, a lot of what I learned that year, it really did start to get my head around this idea of who I was, what it was to be Australian, and what it was to be a white woman as well. What I experienced as an 18-year-old woman, a white woman, particularly in Thailand, was extremely different to what I experienced in Australia. And that was really challenging. And in fact, it was the beginning of really understanding what feminism was, I think, for me as well. And also it was really incredible experience being a minority for the first time in my life. You know, I grew up in a very white suburb of Melbourne. Almost every child at my school was white. You know, I grew up in a very middle class family, and I was suddenly, for the first time in my life, the odd one out. And that was really good for me.
As I said when I was chatting with Penny, I was so impressed that she could do this at 18. I was definitely not in a position to take off and do that at the age of 18. I kind of wish I had, but still, I think I did sort of the same thing when I took off at 25 to go to Japan, and I definitely learnt some of the same things that Penny learnt during her trip or during her year-long stay in Thailand. The gap year thing is something I'm very passionate about. When I was leaving school and heading to uni, it wasn't really a thing. I think it was just starting to be vaguely something that people considered. And it's now something I will, you know, I often tell my son, that's what you do. You, when you finish school, before you go to university, you take a gap year, because I just think it's so valuable. It's a great age to be kind of exploring the world, exploring yourself. And I think it's pretty important to have that break after, you know, 13 years of study here before you head off to university. I think your brain and everything else probably needs a bit of a good break. And may even give you some clarity on what you want to study and all of those things. So, gap year travel is a big passion of mine, something I recommend to everyone. Anyway, now my next guest is Becky Livingston, and she also took a trip for a year, which was but later in life than Penny did, which was really very life-changing. And it was quite a personal thing, but I was really pleased to hear Becky tell me all about it.
Back in 1998, I went to Australia on a teaching exchange to Queensland. And I went with my two daughters and not with my husband. And what I realised in that time away was that I didn't want to be married to him anymore.
Ah, that's interesting. So it was kind of a way to trial that, or maybe not intentionally or subconsciously?
No, well, you know, it was really not a good marriage. I mean, the fact that he even said, yes, okay, you know, go take the girls, great thing. But all it did was just clarify, I'm much happier living on my own. I just felt much more relaxed. And sure, I was away and, you know, on vacation, everything can seem a little bit more glorious than it might be when, you know, back in
real normal life, so to speak.
But we split up and a few months after that. And so if I were to be I would be very grateful for that, because that opportunity really allowed me to step back and see things much more clearly. And I think that's something that travel does. And I think that's why it's so powerful as a change agent, you know, in our lives, really. Because I think, you know, you just sort of, you step out into a larger setting and you just gain perspective, I think. And when you gain perspective, well, it's everything, really. I mean, you can just see more clearly when you're not immersed in the life that you're used to living. It's kind of this wonderful opportunity to see things from a completely different space and place. And I think that until you travel, or unless you go somewhere, and it doesn't have to be a long way, it could just be a weekend retreat somewhere, but there's something about actually being away from the same old, that when you were away, your mind is freed up in a way that allows you to get clarity around things.
That is absolutely true. You've described it really well. And I think I'm not sure what it is exactly. Is it because you're away from, you know, day-to-day drudgery? You know, you don't have to do the same kind of housework, or it's away from the routines where you know, you don't even think about what you do. You just get up and you get, you know, have a shower and you go to work, or, you know, I don't know which, or maybe it's part of, it's all of that. But every time, and you're you don't have to go far. Or for long. I mean, you know, the further you go and the longer, it often makes even more difference. But yeah, it's such a new perspective.
It is. And I think you're right. I think what happens is when you're away from the usual constraints or restraints of everyday life, you're actually living a different life. Whether you're camping in a tent or you're staying in a fancy hotel, you're just away from all the usual things. And then I think that we can sort of see things that we often overlook. When we're, you know, when we
in our normal
are away
day-to-day life.
And I think that's why people do go. I think we all innately know that. I think that's why we go, I have to get away. I mean, we don't just go, I have to get away. I think we kind of know intuitively that there's going to be something that might be kind of really profound that might happen for us. There might be some shift in our thinking. When we go away.
Yes. I know that kind of I think of it as being inspirational part of travel is something I always crave, and I sometimes it will be a small inspiration, sometimes it will be a huge one. But it inevitably happens no matter what. And even if you're not consciously thinking about it. My mind wanders to people who like just go away just to be by the beach for a week. You know, do you still have a, and that's the kind of holiday I don't do. I don't know
Right.
Do you still have a change in perspective, or are you just simply stepping away and relaxing for a week? I don't know.
Well, I know, and that's a really good point, because I did do that once, actually, when my girls were, Rachel was finishing grade 12, and I did one of these all-inclusive things to Mexico. I've never done anything like that.
Interesting.
But it was more of a celebratory thing too, right? Mm. But you know what? We lay around in hammocks under these beautiful palm trees, and we all just read books. And it was not at all like, I could say, anything I'd done before, but it was so cathartic.
Ah, interesting.
And it was just really, well, first of all, the heat in March is great. When you live in Canada, you know, it's pretty miserable, the winters, and then you go somewhere, it's sunny. So already, you know, that's a gorgeous thing, right? And you're walking around in a swimsuit, and, you know, you can hear the waves, and there's sand under your feet. I mean, it's fun. It's really great, right?
I can imagine.
But I know what you mean. I think, I mean, that kind of holiday was done very much with the intention of let's just really indulge. But I would say the other kinds of travel, and perhaps, you know, this is what you've done before, and I would describe the kind of travel I've done, would be much more exploratory. You know, you go out there, you can plan a trip or not plan a trip or semi-plan a trip. But, you know that you're always going to have things happen. You're going to get lost. Things are going to go awry. And then you get to find out who you are.
Yes, exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
And if you are traveling with somebody else, you get to find out about who they
about
are.
Them as well. Yes.
Exactly. I know. And so I think that's the beautiful thing about travel is that you see a whole different side of yourself, because you're pushed and you're tested in ways that
so
you're
it seems
not
that Becky's teaching exchange
home.
To Australia really changed the path of her life significantly. But as we went on to talk about, all kinds of travel can change so much about you, and it's hard to emulate that kind of that inspirational feeling or that the changing your perspective feeling while staying at home and kind of, you know, being in that same old kind of routine. So just one of the reasons that Becky and I definitely agree travel is super important. Now, my final guest today is Cassandra Lay, and she had a really interesting experience during her college years, which also changed the path of her life.
It was my senior year in college, and that was the year that I decided that travel was going to be my main thing, and I wanted to make it my priority. And after college, I wanted to travel more. And I went to a small liberal arts college in the mountains, and what they did was they offered alternative breaks. So during Thanksgiving or spring break or winter break, besides going home, you would volunteer your time, and then you would go to somewhere either in the United States or abroad to volunteer your time. Mm. And yeah, it was really cool. For one of those, for winter break, I was actually chosen to go to Ecuador, to Guayaquil, Ecuador, for a week.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was really surprised. I didn't actually think, because they were doing it by lottery, and
oh gosh,
I thought, okay, there were only 10 spots. I actually couldn't even make it to the lottery drawing, so I had to send my friend. And I remember he texted me while he was waiting there, and he goes, "Cassandra, you got it." I was like, "What?" I did not. He's like, "You did. Where do you want to go?" I was like, "Send me to Ecuador. Just send me to Ecuador." And so I was placed with a group of 10 other people within our college. And we all didn't know each other. And then we flew down to Guayaquil for a week and stayed at the school. And we kind of helped the students. We were all assigned to different grades in classrooms. And we helped the students learn English, but also kind of help set up the school and clean it and, you know, make it better for the students there. Yeah, it was really eye-opening because Guayaquil is, I think, one of the poorest regions in Ecuador.
Oh, right.
So okay. going there, I thought, whoa, this is crazy. Because, I mean, I've been to Vietnam, and Vietnam is also considered a, you know, a third world country. I don't know if Ecuador is.
Ooh, I'm not 100% sure either, but yes, it's certainly, yeah. There's definitely poverty-stricken areas of it. Yeah.
Yeah. So we went and stayed in the school. There was no air conditioning. The shower, I think the light bulb actually caught on fire.
Ooh.
One day while we were showering, because somebody was showering and somebody was brushing their teeth. And something happened, and I think the wires crossed or something, and the light bulb over the shower caught on fire, and I was just like, holy smoke. Yeah, and we couldn't use the water there either, so they had to get us bottled water.
Mm-hmm.
And so even to brush my teeth, I had to use bottled water. You know, there wasn't running water for the toilets. We didn't have beds, and we just slept in hammocks.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was a very big culture shock, because coming from the U.S., I have air conditioning in my house. I have running water. My light bulbs don't catch on fire.
No, mine neither, thank goodness.
Yeah. So being there for a week and then seeing all of that, but I was like, oh, my goodness, this is crazy. But then interacting with the class that I had, and then all the parents and the teachers, they were all so happy that we were there, and they were so hospitable and accommodating. They made sure that we always felt comfortable, and, you know, were basically open arms and embraced us. Nice. And I think that really changed my life, because that's what really helped me decide that I wanted to teach English for a while. And I wanted to work with kids, and I wanted to learn Spanish more to be able to communicate with
everyone.
Yeah.
Oh, wonderful. I think Cassandra's story highlights that we don't know often where this travel experience will lead us. If you remember a couple of episodes ago when I chatted with Cassandra, you might remember that she ended up moving to Spain and teaching English. And that's probably something she wouldn't have done, or I'd say it's definitely something she wouldn't have done, if she hadn't had this volunteer experience in Ecuador and realised that it was something that, you know, she enjoyed and could see that she'd get a lot out of. So just another example of travel changing the path of your life. Now, if you have any examples of how travel's changed your life, or, you know, change the direction of things in your life, I would love to hear about them. The best way is to head over to our Facebook page. It's, the Facebook group, to be precise. It's the Thoughtful Travellers group. There's a link in the show notes as well, but just search for Thoughtful Travellers in Facebook and you will find us there, and I will admit you into the group as soon as you apply, unless it's the middle of the night here. But, you know, anyway, I'll be onto it as soon as I can. Now, the best way to find out more about our guests is to head to the show notes. And for this episode, they'll be at notaballerina.com/63. But I'll also tell you a bit about them straight away. So first of all, we chatted to Penny Winzer for the first time. And she is writing at applesandoptimists.com. She writes about all kinds of stuff there. She's actually a photographer by trade and travels a lot for that. And we'll hear more about that in a future episode. But she also writes about neurodiversity. She has a son who's on the autism spectrum, and freelance work and travel. And that's all at applesandoptimists.com. And you can also find her on Instagram at Penny Winzer. After Penny, I chatted with Becky Livingston. And you may remember she has a really vibrant Facebook community at Joyful Morning. And if you search for Joyful Morning, you will find that in Facebook. And her website is belivingrock.com. And last but definitely not least, I chatted with Cassandra Lay from The Quirky Pineapple. Just recently, my son and I were listening to Cassandra's first episode. And when he heard that that was the name of her blog, he said, "That's the coolest name ever." So thank you for that, Cassandra. You impressed my 7-year-old, which is hard to do, I have to say. So you can find her at thequirkypineapple.com. And on Instagram at TQPineapple. As I said, all of that information and more will be in the show notes, notaballerina.com/63. Thank you so much for listening. This has been another episode of the Thoughtful Travel Podcast. Show notes and other information are at notaballerina.com/podcast. Join me again soon for another chat about why we travel. Bye for now.